Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Our scripture reading today comes from the New Testament. It's one of the letters of Paul to the church in Philippi. Reading from the first chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the things that have happened to me have actually advanced the gospel. The whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else knows that I'm in prison for Christ. Most of the brothers and sisters have had more confidence through the Lord to speak the word boldly and bravely because of my jail time. Some certainly preach Christ with jealous and competitive motives, but others preach with good motives. They're motivated by love because they know that I'm put here to give a defense of the gospel. The others preach Christ because of their selfish ambition. They are insecure, hoping to cause me more pain while I'm in prison. What do I think about this? Just this. Since Christ is proclaimed in every possible way, whether from dishonest or true motives, I'm glad. And I'll continue to be glad. I'm glad because I know that this will result in my release through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It is my expectation and hope that I won't be put to shame in anything. Rather, I hope with daring courage that Christ's greatness will be seen in my body now as always, whether I live or die. Because for me, living serves Christ, and dying is even better. If I continue to live in this world, I get results from my work. But I don't know what I prefer. I'm torn between the two because I want to leave this life and be with Christ, which is far better. However, it's more important for me to stay in this world for your sake. I'm sure of this. I will stay alive and remain with all of you to help your progress and the joy of your faith and to increase your pride in Christ Jesus through my presence when I visit you again. Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Do this whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you. Do this so that you stand firm, united in one spirit and mind, as you struggle together to remain faithful to the gospel. That way you won't be afraid of anything your enemies do. This is the word of God for the people of God. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we've lied to you already this morning. Today isn't All Saints Day. All Saints Day is on November 1st, but none of you came on November. No, we didn't have anything on November 1st. It's the tradition in many churches to observe All Saints on the Sunday following, and it is the tradition of this church. All Saints, that's the word for today, All Saints. The word saint comes from the Latin word sanctus, from which we get the word sanctification or sanctity, which basically means holy. And so to call someone a saint is to acknowledge, to recognize, to honor their holiness of character, their depth of faithfulness and spiritual devotion. Paul referred to saints quite frequently in his writings. In fact, in the New Testament, the word saints appears more than 60 times, most often from the pen of St. Paul, but rarely does he refer to saints as those who have died. Rather, Paul uses the word to refer to us, to the living. You and I, in the minds of the Apostle Paul, are living saints, people called to live holy lives. But in the tradition of this day, we often refer to saints as those who are now in heaven, who now have their eternal rest in the presence of God. As we sang just a few moments ago, for all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed, the name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. More often than not, when we hear the word saint used, we think of exemplary Christians, people who have lived extraordinarily faithful lives, those who are officially recognized with the title of saints, like those are in the Roman Catholic Church. We know that many famous saints have been given, their name has been attributed to numerous things, churches, universities, hospitals. There's even cities named for saints. San Francisco, for instance, is named after St. Francis, San Antonio, Santa Monica, Santa Barbara, and even our own St. Augustine or St. Petersburg, all named for famous saints. There was a time that being a saint was a fairly informal process. Somebody who made a difference in a particular place, lived an extraordinary life, maybe a miracle had been associated with them, was called a saint locally. But over time, that process became a bit more formalized in the Catholic Church. It was in the year 1588 that Pope Sixtus V created a process by which someone must be nominated by a Catholic bishop. Then there's a rather long investigation to see if they really did live a holy life or not. Maybe there were some skeletons in the closet. But once they get through that process, then it's up to a pope to canonize, which is the term for officially naming someone a saint. You might find it interesting that in the last 10 years, Pope Francis has canonized over 1,000 new Catholic saints. In John Delaney's book, The Dictionary of the Saints, he writes, "The saints are a fascinating company who devoted their lives to Christ and his teachings in widely varied ways. They come from every walk of life, poor peasant, poverty-stricken slum dweller, emperor, king. Murderers, cutthroats, and robbers who repented of their evil lives are listed next to holy men and women who live lives of holiness and austerity. Men, women, children, black, white, red, yellow, brown, clergy and laity, powerful and helpless, eloquent and tongue-tied, all are represented in their company." In the HarperCollins Encyclopedia of Catholicism, everybody got a copy at home? Just me? It says that saints come from all walks of life and provide creative instances of living a Christian life in different times and in response to different challenges. The faithful are encouraged to follow the example of the virtuous lives of the saints according to the lights of their own day. And finally, a quote from Pope Francis. He says, "The saints are not Superman, nor were they born perfect. They are like us, like each one of us. They are people who, before reaching the glory of heaven, live normal lives with joys and sorrows, struggles and hopes. What changed their lives? When they recognized God's love, they followed it with all their heart without reserve or hypocrisy. They spent their lives serving others. They endured suffering and adversity without hatred, and responded to the evil with good, spreading joy and peace. This is the life of a saint." In addition to Christian men and women through the millennia, we also refer often to the heroes of the Bible as saints, angels, patriarchs, prophets, and apostles. But Paul, when he used the term, never intended for saints to be only those who are dead. Rather, he believed that every living Christian was a saint, or at least had the potential to be. I know this won't sound terribly profound, but it occurred to me this week that we name people saints after they die, but we become saints while we're living. No one is named a saint if they didn't live their human lives in some faithful, God-filled kind of way. It seems to me that United Methodists kind of fall between St. Paul and his meaning and the Catholic meaning of saint. We believe that there is something called sanctification, that by God's grace in this life we grow in holiness or sanctification. And we, on this day, refer to those who have gone before us in the last year as our saints. We kind of mean both. Sometimes in church language, we refer to the church militant, that's us, those who are still in the battle and the challenges of this life. And we refer to the church triumphant, Christians who now are surrounding the throne of God in heaven, offering praise for eternity. Today is really an opportunity, particularly as we think of the saints who have gone before us. Today is an opportunity for us to ponder the meaning of life and the mystery of eternal life following our death. Today is an opportunity for us to examine our faith and to think about what we believe is waiting for us beyond this life. In today's reading from Philippians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi from a Roman prison. He's behind bars for his faith. At the point of writing the letter to the church in Philippi, Paul must have been in his late 50s, which at that time was old for that point in history. He's young today, but it was older then. Paul was arrested. He had been persecuted. He'd been falsely accused. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been taken to Rome from Israel in chains. He knew that it wouldn't be long before he would die a martyr's death. He held out hope for his relief, but you sense in his writings that he knew death was near, and it was. In just a few short years, he would be martyred under the evil, neurotic, crazy Emperor Nero. Paul seems to have been very aware that his death was coming. I'll just repeat a few verses. Paul said, "I hope with daring courage that Christ's greatness will be seen in my body, now as always, whether I live or die. Because for me, living serves Christ, and dying is even better. If I continue to live in this world, I get results from my work, but I don't know what I prefer. I'm torn between the two because I want to leave this life and be with Christ, which is far better. However, it's more important for me to stay in this world for your sake." Paul was ready to go. He'd lived a full life. He was confident in what awaited him beyond death. And yet, he knew that his ministry wasn't done. He knew that he still had work to do. And so even as he was ready for heaven, he felt still an obligation to serve the church that he founded, to continue to mentor the Christians, the people he had introduced to Christ. Written very close in time, Paul wrote to one of his young mentees, Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "The time of my death is near," Paul writes. "I have fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. At last, the champion's wreath that is awarded for righteousness is waiting for me." He knew death was near. Whenever you read these kind of passages from the Apostle Paul, it seems clear that he had fully accepted, embraced death as part of living and moving on to the next life. He seems to have been at peace with it, and yet knew that he still had a role in living. Which was better, he asked. He wasn't sure. Pope John Paul II once said, "True holiness does not mean a flight from this world. Rather, it lies in the effort to incarnate the gospel in everyday life." That's what we're all called to do, to live in our flesh in a way that lives out the gospel. Thomas Merton once said, "The confidence of the Christian is always a confidence in spite of darkness and risk, in the presence of peril, with every evidence of possible disaster." Paul had lived that reality. Kate Bowler is a young professor at Duke Divinity School who in her 30s has had to battle a very aggressive form of life-threatening cancer. She writes, "Someday we won't need to hope. Time itself will be wrapped up with a bow, and God will draw us into the eternal moment where there will be no suffering, no disease, no email." Hallelujah. "In the meantime, we are stuck with our beautiful, terrible finitude." In the meantime, we are stuck with our beautiful, terrible finitude. The question for us who are still part of the church militant on earth is, how do we live as saints, as Paul calls us, right here, right now, in the daily challenge and difficulty and distraction of this human life? I think Paul is trying to help the Philippians know the answer to that question. He says in Philippians 1:20, "Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Do this, whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you. Do this so that you stand firm, united in one spirit and mind as you struggle together to remain faithful to the gospel." Most important, Paul says. Pay attention to this, he implies. Live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Today, we remember the lives of saints who are no longer with us, who lived their lives worthy of Christ's gospel. We grieve their absence. And because of their passing, we contemplate our own mortality. We ponder our faith in the next life. And today we remember how saints live so that we can be inspired to live like them. It's by their example that we are reminded how we're called to live our life. As it says in Hebrews 12:1, we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So many great examples. What I'm about to do is terribly unfair. Every name we read today deserves a moment to be praised, to be remembered in greater detail, and we just don't have the time to do it. So if you'll forgive me, I'd like to just name a few. Today, as we read the names, I was reminded of Fran Olson sitting at that back door, always in a sweater regardless of the temperature, never liking the cold. And if you ever asked Fran how she was doing, there was one answer and only one answer. She said, "I'm..." You know it. I'm reminded of Betty Hussey and my shared great love for plants and God's creation. I'm reminded of young Pedro Jimenez, deep spiritual center, his great hunger for spiritual insight, his constant, ever readiness to engage in deep conversation. I'm reminded today of Rena Simmons' annual birthday calls. Anybody ever get a birthday call from Rena? Anybody ever get more than one birthday call from Rena? I'm reminded today of Joe Pettaway's deep spirituality, her gift for teaching and inspiring others, and her advocacy for women and leadership. I'm reminded, especially as we heard bells ring today, of David Allen, his great love for sacred music and handbells, his engagement in spiritual conversation. I think there weren't many sermons that David stopped me and let me know something that had touched him in the sermon. And his tireless advocacy for the LGBTQ+ community. Is it any exaggeration to say that we are a reconciling congregation today largely because of David's commitment to the cause? I'm also reminded of someone that none of you knew. His picture is there on the table. One of my former students from FSU, Brandon Sanders, was 34 years old. On September 11th of this year, he was living in Frostproof. There was a car accident. A 15-year-old driver, obviously not licensed, was driving their younger sibling to school, obviously inexperienced, and pulled in front of another car, which led to a terrible collision. Brandon pulled up on the scene and got out of the car to help the victims when another unregistered van plowed into them, taking Brandon's life. The most common comment about Brandon from his fellow students on Facebook was how tragic his death was at such a young age, and how unsurprising it was that he died trying to help others. He had stopped to help strangers, as he did many, many times before. As I said, it's not fair to highlight some and other, not others, so I apologize to those of you who have someone on the table that I didn't mention today. I trust that you will remember why they touched your life and inspired you. Barbara Brown Taylor is a retired Episcopal priest, seminary professor, and author. She says, if you are my age, you know full well where all this is heading, but you also know that you're not ready yet. So how are you supposed to get ready? What is the work you have left to do before you enter the great beyond? What a great question. Maybe it's asked of every single one of us today, saints. What is the work you have left to do before you enter the great beyond? Paul said the work before us is to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Moments ago, we heard from Psalm 24, who shall stand in God's holy place? And then the answer, those with clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false or swear deceitfully. I think in some way, just as God has created each of us uniquely, there's something unique in each of our lives to live out as we become saints, to use the unique God gifts that God has given each of us, to be generous with all that God puts in our hands, to serve as faithfully as we can, to make our little corner of the world as better, the better that we can, to shine our lights wherever we find darkness, to serve, to worship, to pray, most importantly, to love as Christ loved, to walk humbly with our God. Or maybe the answer is as simple as this. Matthew Callie writes, the Christian life is quite simple in a sense. If I had to summarize it in 10 words, I would say, you were made in the image of God. Act accordingly. Let us pray. And so, Lord, for all of the saints we honor today, we give you thanks. We thank you for the legacies they left us. We thank you for the lessons they taught us, for the examples they demonstrated for us, for the ways they live on in our memories, in our thoughts, in our traditions. And Lord, I pray for the saints that are right here in this room, living and breathing. Help us to be saints. When we are less than saintly, Lord, forgive us. And by your Spirit, make us better than we are. And Lord, may we one day, with absolute confidence of faith, face death with courage, knowing what great things await us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.